Hello, everyone. This is Mr. Jeffreon. I have a bit of a pre-intro for you today. It's a retraction. I messed up. In episodes 2 and 3, I had said it was the Hittites responsible for introducing the chariot to the Egyptians. It was, in fact, the Hyksos, sometimes pronounced Hyksos. I was wrong. I messed up. I apologize. Enjoy the show. Once again to Mr. Jeffreon's World History Podcast. This is episode 4. Today we are going to look at some early South Asian societies, and by South Asian I mean Indian. Sorry, Sri Lanka. If you would like to submit a question for the podcast, I suggest doing it the cool way by calling the Google Voice number 321-804-APWH. That's 321-804-2794 on your keypad. What makes that the cool way is your message will be heard on the show for the world to hear. The other way to submit questions, which is, you know, cool in its own right, is by email. And the email for the show is mrjeffreon@gmail.com. And the spelling for my name is on the iTunes page where you downloaded this. You know, after I record each podcast, I think of a dozen other things I could have talked about, but I really have no interest in recording a 2-hour podcast. And I think I would lose people after the first 15 minutes or so. I'm not trying to replace anyone's history book or history teacher. I'm just offering a different medium and a different point of view. My hope is that I say something on a podcast that makes you read a book, or at least spend a little time with Professor Google. Now, if someone submits a question, I will attempt to answer it, and hopefully that allows us to fill in any gaps in our knowledge. That's what submitting a question does for us. Sometimes I may not talk about something for reasons of time or interest, but if someone submits a question about it, I will talk about it. By the way, when you are submitting your questions using the Google Voice number, just include your first name. It's not like we're running background checks or anything, and maybe you would like a little anonymity and privacy and not broadcast your last name to everyone. Anyway, let's get started. Early Indian society centers in the Indus River Valley, so you may hear me use the phrases ancient India and Indus River Valley interchangeably. In terms of modern geography, the locations we will cover include modern-day Pakistan. Of course, Pakistan was once part of India, but that is a story for another day. Ancient India was brilliant in its religious and cultural traditions, and beginning around 2500 BCE, it's one of the oldest civilizations we will discuss. While Mesopotamia is a little bit older, the Harappans, which is the Indus River Valley, are seen as contemporaries with Mesopotamians and the Egyptians, and are believed to have interacted with those societies. The story of the Indus River Valley begins with the Dravidians. This was a sophisticated society with complex religion, farming, and at least two organized and structured cities, which included business and residential areas, schools, and even sewers. These cities are called Harappa and Mohenjo-Daro. Of course, those probably aren't the names the Dravidians had for their cities, and the Dravidians probably never referred to themselves as Dravidians. Truth be told, our knowledge of Harappan society is limited because we cannot read their writing. There was never a Rosetta Stone type of artifact found for the Indus River Valley to help us learn about as much about it as we know about the Nile River Valley. That means any information we have is based on physical artifacts and possible records of those who interacted with them. Frankly, we don't even have as many physical artifacts as we would like because much of what was Harappan society is underwater today. We need to wait for the technology to catch up in order to make these excavations feasible. This should show you how fluid history truly is. It is an account of what happened, not the account of what happened. If you follow the news, and by news I don't mean what's on TV, there seems to be a story every other month or so about a new discovery or artifact that completely changes our understanding of the ancient world. Certainly, with our limited knowledge of Harappan society, the door is wide open for just such a discovery to occur. We know that they interacted with the Mesopotamians, though, based on Indus artifacts that were found there, and we assume the Dravidians learned their farming techniques through those interactions. Much of what we do know about the Indus River Valley begins with the arrival of the Aryans. No, not those Aryans. I think we need to clarify some points. Just about anyone with a middle school level understanding of history can tell you that Hitler and the Nazis referred to blonde-haired, blue-eyed people as Aryans. According to the Nazis, Aryans were a race of people from the lost continent of Atlantis. This is an example of the manipulation of historical facts to serve a political agenda. Setting aside the fact that there is no physical evidence that Atlantis even existed, the reality is that Aryans were an Indo-European group that migrated to the Indus River Valley, heavily influencing the language, religion, and culture of that region. Are you looking for specifics? Okay, let's get into it. One of the most significant texts the Aryans brought with them was the Rig Veda. This was their creation tale and can easily be found online. It tells a story of a primordial being who was sacrificed and torn apart. The various parts of his body became different social classes of people in Aryan society. The mouth became the priests, the arms the soldiers, and the legs the merchants, and the feet the laborers. This is called the Varna and sets the foundation for the caste system in Indian society. This close tie between social classes and religion makes social mobility impossible. People are born into these social classes, and these classes are based on religion, meaning a person is where they are in society because the gods say so. And who is going to challenge a god? No one. Of course, there were some people who were not of Aryan descent who were not part of this primordial being, people like the Dravidians, for example. These groups would make up a class separate from and below the Varna, and are usually referred to as untouchables. Untouchables were called this because Aryans felt this group was unclean. Consequently, the work left to untouchables was work the Aryans felt was beneath them. A person could not climb the social ladder. There was no social ladder. Whichever caste a person was born into was the one they would stay in for their lifetime. So what kept the people on the bottom from rioting and overthrowing their social betters in a violent and bloody revolution? The answer is dharma, karma, and samsara. Indians believed that by performing the duties assigned to their caste, or dharma, they would earn good karma, meaning if they did good things would happen to them. And if they did bad things, they were inviting trouble. They also believed the soul was eternal and in a constant cycle of death and rebirth called samsara, but we will call it reincarnation. As long as they had good karma, Indians believed that they would be reborn into the next caste up. But it didn't stop there. The end goal was to transcend the caste system and end the cycle of birth and rebirth and simply become a formless part of creation. An enlightened state called moksha. When most people think of Indian religion, they think of Hinduism. What we are talking about right now predates Hinduism, but is really the foundation of that faith. Ancient Indian texts, like the Vedas and the Upanishads, were later adopted by Hinduism, and the caste system would develop even further within that faith. The gods of the Aryans and the Dravidians likely found a place within the Hindu pantheon. Consequently, the things I'm talking about right now regarding ancient Indus religion will also be true when we talk about Hinduism later on. Also tied to religion is the status of women. The Indus, like most agricultural societies from the Neolithic Revolution on, were highly, highly patriarchal. The law book of Manu outlines how a woman should behave, and while it makes a case for respecting women, it does not sugarcoat who is in charge. The patriarchal head of the house, the father, the husband, is the boss. In his absence, the eldest son is in charge, even holding authority over his own mother. Two of the strongest examples of patriarchal authority in ancient and later classical Indian society is the practice of child marriage and the practice of sati. It was not uncommon for girls as young as 10 or 11 to be married off to older men. While this does not jibe with our modern Western sensibilities, we may think, well, at least she will outlive her husband and can remarry. Well, You're wrong about that. Women were forbidden to remarry and were encouraged to practice sati upon the death of her husband. What is sati, you ask? Imagine, if you will, an Indian funeral. The sun is shining, the blossoms on the trees are in full bloom, and the deceased is being cremated. Suddenly, the grieving widow approaches her husband's funeral pyre, throws herself on top of it, and burns to death. Yeah, I know, right? It should be noted that women were not required to perform sati, but it was seen as the highest way to honor the memory of one's husband. Today, the caste system is illegal in India. And of course, women are no longer throwing themselves on their husband's funeral pyres, and child marriages are highly uncommon. However, I think it would be naive to think that Indians, or any of us for that matter, are unaffected by our roots and foundations. Some great activities I suggest for world history students would be to continue to draw comparisons between the early complex societies, and maybe develop a chart outlining the characteristics of these societies that you can add to as you learn more and more about these cultures. Maybe even Google image search for artifacts from these societies and compare those. Well, that's all I have for you today. Until next time, this has been Mr. Jeffrey on's World History Podcast.